say, ladies and gentlemen, things are shaping up for North Carolina. Lots of good things are happening. I'm going to tell you all about it right now. North Carolina, gear up for February. Is it February yet? Oh, one more day? Okay. February the 9th. February the 9th. Saturday, February the 9th. There is going to be a meeting at the home of Tony Joyner. 2 p.m. Saturday, February 9th. If you want to go to this meeting, and I don't know how many people are going to be there. I'm putting out the call right now. If you're anywhere in the vicinity of Charlotte, North Carolina. I know people are listening to me in Australia and Holland and Germany. Yeah, come on down. Probably not likely I'm going to see you folks. Wish I would. I have to get to Holland, Australia, and Germany sometime. But for those of you anywhere in within a tri-state area of North Carolina, come on down to Charlotte. Going to have a meeting at the home of Tony Joyner on Saturday, February 9th at 2 p.m. To get the directions there, you need to either call him or email him. You can call him at 704-315-7002. All right, I know you can rewind this, but I'm going to give that phone number anyway. It's Tony Joyner, 704-315-7002. Or if you want to email him, do that. His email is tonyjoyner@carolina.rr.com. Did you get that? Tony Joyner, TonyJoyner, @carolina.rr.com. Email him, ask him, where the heck's this meeting? I don't know his address yet either, but it's going to be at his house. So I know there's a lot of you folks in North Carolina. There's a lot of you folks in Virginia, South Carolina. Come on down. Here's the exciting thing. The next day, whoever wants to, we're going to get a caravan and we're going to go to Faith, North Carolina, which is about an hour and a half to the north. This is where I've been invited to address a church. Yes, it's an actual church, pastored by Alan Hess. 60 members here at this church, and Alan Hess is teaching them the salvation of all. And again, this is the group, the Bible study of which I addressed in the Skype address from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, earlier this month. So I'm going to be at this church, never been there before. I've never met any of these people. I've never met Alan Hess. I've talked to him on the phone, though. He's a great guy. He wants as many people to come as possible. He says, Martin, I want you to teach on the salvation of all. I said, I'll do it, but I'm going to give it through the backdrop of the Apostle Paul, because the Apostle Paul is the only one who gives us the salvation of all. I know lots of other people are telling you that there are thousands of verses in Scripture, even in the Old Testament, teaching the salvation of all. No, only through Paul. I want to talk to this ecclesia about this. This is an actual church. You might actually be sitting in pews there. I don't know. I've never been there. But that's going to happen on Sunday, February 10th, the next day. The next day, we're going to take a caravan like you used to do at football games. You know, maybe we'll have a tailgate party in the church parking lot. I don't know. Faith, North Carolina, Sunday, February 10th. Here's the address. And Alan Hess says, bring anybody you want. Bring them all. He wants people to come to this. So it'd be great to see you there. Point yourself out to me. Tell me that you came from out of town. You're not a member of the church. I don't know anybody. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be exciting. It's 108 North Main Street. 108 North Main Street, Faith, North Carolina, 28041. 11 a.m. Sunday morning, February 10th. Going to be teaching at, I don't even know the name of the church. I'm sure it has a name. I don't know it, though. But I know the address. 108 North Main Street, 11 a.m. Sunday, and I'm going to be staying on for a Tuesday night meeting, Tuesday, February 12th at 7 p.m. That's what's happening in North Carolina soonish, like next weekend, or a weekend after this weekend. Hope to see you there. All right, 2 Timothy, we've talking about the one body. We're talking about how to sustain yourself in an era of apostasy. And I did a radio show one time with Tony Smith in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and he had this Baptist preacher on. And this Baptist preacher couldn't believe that I never went to church. I said, no, I don't go to church. And he says, well, how do you, you're not accountable to anybody. You don't have a pastor. You don't have a teacher. You don't have all this stuff you're supposed to have when you go to a real church. I said, I'm a member of the best church ever. He said, oh, what's that? I said, the body of Christ. And he couldn't answer that. I said, the body of Christ, it exists. It's a freelance church. And there are people in my life who act as pastors. They shepherd me. They give me advice. Clyde Pilkington is one of them. You know, he used to have a degree. He used to have a diploma. He was a big shot in the Southern Baptist Church, a very popular speaker, went all over the place, had diplomas. And he's like the Apostle Paul. He counts it all as dung now, as dung, animal waste, in comparison with the excellencies of the cross of Jesus Christ. So Clyde is a pastor figure. He's a father figure too. So he doesn't have a diploma anymore. He threw it away. But he's been given the wisdom. He's appointed by God, not by humans. That's good enough for me. No, that's what I want. That's essential for me. And other people have acted in this capacity in my life. Clyde's also an evangelist. And there are other people I learn from who have been given the gift of evangelism, the gift of teaching. And these people are all part of the ecclesia, which is Christ's body. I do go to church. Every time we meet here at this home, we read from the Concordant Commentary, we talk about Scripture. Clyde and I were in the kitchen this morning at 6:30 a.m. I was frying a couple eggs. We were talking about God. Is that not church? It's the outcalled. We're the outcalled. And this is a living, vital entity. It's freelance. How is that not official? It's as official as you can get, but it doesn't please some people because, you know, it doesn't have the mark of authority on it, the authority of humans. Well, who's your pastor? Where do you meet? What's the building? There was church this morning right in the kitchen. So this Baptist guy on the Tony Smith Show, he was just appalled that I didn't have a formal alliance with a formal church, as he defined it, in a formal building. Who needs it? Sorry, I don't need that. I have everything I need in the people God has gifted and put in my life. People ask me, Martin, you know, we know you're suffering. We know you've been through an emotional trauma and you're still going through it. How do you sound so good on the shows? You know, you sound so up. You're teaching. You know, how can you do that when life sucks? Well, it's like John Lennon used to say, everything's all right when I'm plugged in. When I'm teaching this message, this is what I was born to do. And I get in a zone, as you say. I can be upset. I can be totally demoralized right before. And when I turn on this microphone, and when I talk to you, when I come into your living rooms, and I so appreciate those of you who have written me. A man in Minnesota wrote me this morning and said, my wife and I listen to you at the kitchen table with our computer in front of us every morning, you know, with our coffee. A woman in Australia wrote me and said, I play Australian solitaire. I'm not sure what that is, but she plays it while she listens to the show. I love hearing that. I love that I'm talking to you. This is a one-on-one personal conversation between you and me. It's intimate. And I like that. You know why? Because we're both members of the same body. We're closer than family. I love talking to you. This is one of the highlights of my day, coming up here and talking to you. That's the only way I sound good, because this is what I'm meant to do. I'm plugged in, and when I'm plugged in, everything's okay. Oh, I told you yesterday about that the circumcision abandons their nationality. Now, of course, I didn't mean you can't abandon your flesh descendancy. You just can't. It's part of who you are. And so an Israelite didn't stop becoming a literal Israelite, but as Paul, they would give up the advantages. Those Israelites who jumped ship and joined Paul, because God had designated them beforehand for membership in the body of Christ, they forewent the advantages of being an Israelite. It no longer mattered to them. You know, Israel has many advantages in the flesh, and these advantages allow them to have special privileges on the earth. I've told you this before. I need to tell you again, whenever you think of Israel, think earth. And that card that Peter's going to flash at the inauguration of the kingdom, he's a card-carrying Israelite, that card is going to get him much advantage in the kingdom, fleshly advantage. The nations will be second-class citizens in the kingdom. Now, even those proselytes of Israel, that is, those who are not natural-born Israelites, people like Cornelius, and is that Acts chapter 10 or chapter 12? I always get those two mixed up. 10 and 12. Yeah, there's only two numbers off. But Cornelius, he became associated with the chosen nation. Well, in the kingdom, he's going to be there. He's going to be a beneficiary of the kingdom, but he's going to be a second-class citizen. And my belief is that people today, even non-Israelites can still embrace the circumcision evangel and hold to it, because some of these people, they just don't get Paul. Some of you out there, well, I don't know if there are any out there listening to me who don't get Paul, but surely you know people like this. They don't understand Paul. Paul's like a foreign language to them. It's like speaking French to a Chinese dude. And they don't get it, and they love the circumcision. Oh, they love the Ten Commandments. They love law. They love Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all want to go to the Jordan River and get baptized. And they love just lording it other people over other people in the flesh. They love repentance, and they love the altar calls. They'll go to 10 altar calls a month if you let them. They can't wait to get wet in some river or a swimming pool or sprinkle. Just baptize the hell out of them. They're so happy. That's an Israel. Right. So these folks, they're going to be in the kingdom, I think, but they're going to be second-class citizens. Here is my call that I put out to you. Why settle for this? If God is giving you an ear to hear Paul's evangel, then hear it. Trust it. You're not hearing a foreign message. You're hearing a truth. The Paul's evangel is going out in the first century. It came through God to Paul directly. It came through Jesus Christ to Paul directly. Then Paul began transmitting it to others. Peter heard it. He acknowledged it as a legitimate evangel, but he did not embrace it because it was not for him. Others among the circumcision did. Barnabas was one of them. He was a Jew, but he heard Paul's message. He jumped ship, and so he was no longer a card-carrying Jew. He became part of the body of Christ, in which there is neither Jew nor Greek. So that's what I meant. A Jew does not jettison his nationality in the sense that he can change his stripes, like a tiger can change his stripes. No, but he surrenders the earthly advantages that that Israelite card will get him, and he trades that in for a far higher, far more glorious expectation. Speaking of expectation and baptism, as this show closes here today, I need to take you to Ephesians chapter 4 quickly here. Paul says in verse 4 of Ephesians 4, let's go to verse 3. Paul wants us to, with patience, bear with one another in love. And this is needed, and I call for it. I call for it in you. I call for it in myself. Let us bear with one another in love. Let us help one another. Come to grips. Come to a realization of these great truths. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. The unity of the Spirit. You know, when I talked about shunning, don't socially outcast people totally, but just don't go to the churches where you're hearing the mixed message. Now, as for your association with one another, don't shun one another. Be gracious. Be kind to one another. Keep the unity of the Spirit, the tie of peace. One body, one Spirit, according as you are called also, with one expectation of your calling. Wait a minute. Martin, one body, one Spirit, one expectation. The circumcision had an expectation. I know, that's a different Spirit, a different body, a different expectation. Well, how does this make sense to me then? Well, Paul is saying within the body of Christ, there is only one Spirit, one body, one expectation, and one faith, one baptism. That's within the body of Christ. Some would try to splinter the body of Christ. They'll try to say that within the body of Christ, there are these different factions. No, no, and no. Within the body of Christ, there is one body, one faith, one expectation, one baptism. Now, in the circumcision, that's another faith, another expectation, another baptism. In the Marine Corps, there's one set of laws. In the Navy, there's one set of laws. In the Air Force, there's one set of laws. So the body is one body. Don't let anybody try to splinter the one body of Christ. And, you know, if there's one baptism today, I always ask this of people, is it water or Spirit? Trick question. No, it's not. It's just a question that'll drive you to a logical conclusion. If there is one baptism in the body of Christ, it's a spiritual baptism. You don't need to get wet, folks. Put away the towels. Put away your swimming goggles. Put away the flippers. You were baptized in the death of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. I love it when people ask me, Martin, were you baptized? Yes, I was. When was that? 2,000 years ago. I love it. It sends them scrambling to the scripture for answers. They can figure me out. I'm right out there. But I believe in accord with the revelation of the secret brought to us by the Apostle Paul.